You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Act Two of Nightlight on this Wednesday edition. Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous summer night. We are kicking off Act Two here. Our guests in studio at the moment are Lindsay Van Dalwick, who is a shift leader at Big B Coffee in Appleton, and her boss, the Big Cheese, the owner, Tara Nyson. They're both here in the studio. We're talking about coffee. They brought in drinks. We're having a blast, but we'll get back to them in just a second. At 7:20, Chris Foran will be here. We're going to talk movies and TV with Chris. Conrad, did you know that Chris is on vacation this week?
I did not.
He's still coming by to talk movies.
Wow, that's awesome.
This guy is a dedicated professional. So Chris is one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight. Our question of the night is, what movie or TV set would you feel most at home on? I say Seinfeld and Cheers. I want to live in the Seinfeld building, and I want to go down the street for a drink at Cheers. I don't want to sit next to Norman Cliff. So we'll ask our guests that too, you guys. So be ready for that, because we're going to ask you that. All kinds of fun stuff. What else did we cover in hour one, Con? What are we missing?
My parking situation that happened last night.
Conrad got parked in.
Yep. Had it over to work.
Oh no.
They put blacktop on his park. But you saw the sign.
It was my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. I parked in my garage. I can't get out of my garage because there's no blacktop.
So I guess what he's asking is, which way are you guys headed when you leave here? Because he might, you don't mind sticking around a little longer. All kinds of fun stuff. Great to have you with us. We're talking coffee. We're talking sitcom and movie sets, where we'd feel most at home, folks. That's really the question. So let us know on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can drop us a comment on the app or the stream if you're watching the radio on X, Twitter, or Facebook. X and Twitter are the same thing, aren't they?
Yes.
All right, YouTube, Facebook, and whatever the heck Twitter is called now. Let us know. It's great to hear from you guys. Craig Anthony Knitt on the stream says, Pete, living in the setting for Doc Martin would be awesome for a while, and I'd totally try to treat his girlfriend better than he does. I don't know that show. What's he referring to?
I'm not sure.
Craig, we need clarification. Let us know. I want to get it right. Jim on the stream says, Rivendell. Oh, you know what? I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy. I've never seen Lord of the Rings, so I don't really even know that world.
Yeah, I don't either.
Sorry, Jim. But Jim says, Rivendell from the Lord of the Rings, the lost homely house. See, all this caffeine is making me lose my eyesight. I got to put my glasses on here. The last homely house, the dwelling of Elrond. God, I feel left out. I should really know those movies. I mean, all I do is talk about movies every night. But I don't know the Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry, Jim. But thank you for being part of the show and texting. All right. My guests right now in studio are Lindsay Van Dalwick. She is a shift leader and trainer at Big B Coffee in Appleton. And Tara Nyson is here, too. She is the owner of said coffee house and also owns one here in Green Bay. I have a question for you, Tara. I've had people, I've had friends of mine that have bought into franchises. What is that like? And why is that a better choice? I mean, you get the brand name, but did you think about opening your own place, like Tara Nyson's coffee shop, before you bought into a franchise? And what kind of a production is that to do that?
I did not, because it seemed like a lot more work, because you have to find the vendors and make all those connections and find the equipment and those kinds of things, where Big B Home Office has it all laid out for you and you follow a procedure on who you would order the equipment from, where you get your syrups from, and then they have the design layout and all those things ready for you. So it's just putting the puzzle pieces
easier
together as you go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And will you open more, or are you content with two?
That's to be determined. I guess it depends on who you ask.
Okay.
She's going to open more.
And it sounds like she's going into radiation technology.
Right.
So if you want to keep her, you have to probably pay her $1 million a year.
She's worth it, isn't she?
Raise those prices. Okay, so Bigby Coffee, and they're, are they just in the Midwest or are they everywhere?
There is 300 plus stores in the Michigan area. That's where it was born in 1995, okay. On the Michigan State University campus. So,
oh, right, in East Lansing.
Right.
Okay.
And then they have spread out to 13 other states, Wisconsin being the second highest franchise ownership with the franchise.
And do you still have another job, or is this time-consuming enough?
This is time-consuming
It's really full-time. Okay. Well, that's kind of fun, though. I just think coffee would be fun.
Like, right.
If, you know, if I didn't do this, that's probably, I'd probably be in the coffee game. All right. So tell us about the Bigby Coffee Life You Love Workshop. As I mentioned on the website earlier, everybody looks so happy. And I think generally coffee shop workers are happy to begin with. But your site is like just smiling faces everywhere. It like jumped out at me. And what are Life You Love Workshops?
They are different workshops that the baristas or managers, any of the Bigby employees can take, from organization skills to figuring out life-work balance. They're all online. You can get together with some of the people that are taking the class, and it's just something fun for them to do to advance their personal well-being.
Wow, that's right. So you look after your employees, too.
We try to.
Okay. So let's think about this. If you had a coffee, what is it? All right, when you start, and I know you bought into the franchise, but what makes someone think they can make a go of a brand of coffee? Like, you know, when you drink coffee, they taste enough the same where you go, this is more nuanced, this isn't, but does somebody just get a recipe they think is better than everybody else and rolls the dice? How do you even start to create a coffee franchise?
Well, the Bigby, what they live by is anybody can be a barista, but we're looking for people with the best personalities and who can talk to the people in the community and keep those people coming back day after day after day. And we also want them to get to say, I get to go to work today instead of I have to go to work today. So
okay.
if we incorporate the right environment, the barista part is easy.
Yeah. You see that, Con? Would it kill you to say, I can't wait to go new nightlight tonight? I got to go meet Pete at the studio. But like in terms of taste, like Starbucks has a very, they burn the beans, they have this taste. Then there's like Pete's Coffee, Sanka, whatever. Does Bigby have like some type of, not mission, but like a desired taste they go for? Or are they known as being more mild or do they have a taste?
Bigby Coffee has branched off. One of their co-owners has One Big Island in Space, if you can check that out online. And they are boots on the ground where they go to different coffee farms all over the world.
Oh, wow.
So that we can give fair trade value for their beans. So we're giving them money that they know that is coming in. And then we are going boots on the ground so that we know that they're taking care of their people, their community, and taking care of the environment, which is really important for us as well. So our Bigby Best coffee is 100% farm to cup.
Wow. And where in the world does it matter? Is it just like we approve this area, we'll get it from here?
Right. They go all over the place. Boots on the ground, they call it. They have their criteria, which is a couple steps above just being organic.
Okay.
And they build those relationships. They take farm producers and they visit all different types of coffee communities to see if that partnership will work.
Sounds like kind of a fun gig.
Right.
That is the voice of Tara Nyssen. She is the owner of two Bigby coffee shops here, in one in Green Bay, one in Appleton. I'm joined in studio by Tara and her wonder employee here, shift leader Lindsay Van Dalwick. Chris Foran will be here at 7:20 to talk movies and TV. All right. So you got these great fall drinks. This is the only one I haven't tasted. Is this a fall drink? The mocktail?
Yeah.
All right, what is the mocktail again? Can you explain it, Lindsay?
The mocktail, what we call at Bigby, is Red Bull and lemonade. But in this one, it's Red Bull and apple cider.
Okay.
So apple cider is kind of like the fall spin that we have to it. And then we have raspberry and blackberry flavoring in there.
All right, I'm already having palpitations. So is the Red Bull going to Is it going to, like, is Conrad going to have to take over?
But it's nothing crazy.
I've never had a Red Bull before. This will be my first taste of Red Bull.
Red Bull.
And I'm willing to go for it. Con, you want some of this after I'll get you
a straw? Yeah, I'll try it.
Ooh, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sweet. And now I want to go high jump. that's very good. Wow. All right. Then you bought a muffin, too. Bigsby Coffee. You got the logo there. And this is a pumpkin muffin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave this for... You want the muffin, Con?
Yeah, sure.
You've been working so hard on the other side. I'm going to save the muffin for Con. That's too much for me. These are all great, you guys. This is fantastic. Thank you for being here tonight. And I have to ask you, you know, I'm always looking for the right, like I used to love like a glass of whiskey when I would watch a cop show or a beer when you watch baseball. What is coffee? What kind of TV goes best with coffee?
I think when I think of like coffee or like a good drink to have, I always like to sit down and like watch a comedy movie or kind of just like a homey family original type of movie. One of my favorites is probably The Great Outdoors that I like to watch.
Nice. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you this. And I've had this issue because I love to drink coffee when I watch a movie. But when you go to movie theaters, coffee's pretty subpar, if they have it at all. So have you ever snuck coffee into a theater?
I can't say I've snuck coffee in, but, you know, candy or something maybe.
All right. This is all going on your permanent record, by the way.
Oh, geez.
My wife tried to sneak a cup of coffee in when she had this big heavy coat and it spilled. So it can be treacherous.
No.
And we sued the movie theater naturally. So what about you, Tara? Do you have a coffee show, like maybe morning news, morning TV? What do you like to watch when you drink coffee?
I am a Golden Girls
Such a great show. Yeah.
And you can have anything to drink with that show because of how funny it is and then how serious it is, you know.
Yeah. Con, what about you? Cold brew. Brewers game?
If I'm drinking in the morning, I don't know. I'd find something on YouTube probably and just watch that. I don't really watch TV in the morning.
No. I like to drink coffee and play video poker and do my like New York Times puzzles. You do like Wordle or the mini crossword or something. So I've had a ton of coffee though today. Thank you for bearing with me. You guys are a lot of fun. I hope you come back sometime. And so real quick, tell us the fall specials again if people wanted to stop by.
I think our fall specials that I would want to say are probably the most popular right now are going to be our pumpkin and our apple cider. That's kind of what we promote the most.
Okay.
You can make a wide range of drinks. What we offer is like a white pumpkin latte right now, a chider, which is chai and apple cider, and then our jack-o'-lantern latte.
Jeez. And what if there's diehards out there that don't want to let go of summer, what's a good summer drink you can still get or that you would recommend?
I think any of our lattes really are kind of stay in the summery. Probably our most popular that we're selling right now in the summer is called the Spotted Owl. So that has hazelnut, vanilla, and marshmallow in it.
That's outstanding. And where is the Big B in Green Bay? And where is the Big B in Appleton in case people want to stop by?
Sure. The Big B in Green Bay is in the Easttown Mall parking lot, right by Five Below and Hobby Lobby. And then Appleton, we are off of 441 between College and Calumet next to Tractor Supply and BioLife Plasma Services.
Great stuff. Tara Nyssen, Lindsay Van Dalwick. Keep up the good work at Bigsby Coffee. Thank you for coming in. Thanks for the free caffeine.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to get home a lot quicker tonight. All right. We are coming right back with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment writer, Chris Foran, will be here. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gotta go on the lam. Stuck in no man's land. Ain't nobody on your way. Nobody gonna lend you a helping hand, and you start breaking down, and you go to the sound.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I'm not going to sleep for a week. Oh, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday. And it's not because, like, I was just taking sips of coffee, but, like, I've been drinking coffee all day. So this is going to be a long night.
You know what I did? I didn't drink coffee this morning just so because I knew this was going to happen tonight.
That's very responsible behavior.
I had water instead.
But the reason you probably would have been sharper and you would have moved your car, though.
Didn't know that.
You had a little Java.
That was last night.
Oh, okay.
That I did that.
Gotcha. All right. Well, great stuff. Thank you to Big B Coffee. That was fun. All right. So this is exciting, folks, because like we so often do here on Nightlight, we are about to talk movies and TV with one of our frequent flyers. He is a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He covers entertainment and covers it very well. And he is a frequent guest here, as I mentioned. Chris Foran joins us now. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Pete. How are you? How are you today?
Doing very well. I understand we're interrupting your vacation, so I extra appreciate your time tonight. But maybe you're already bored on vacation. I don't know.
Well, I'm coming. I spend a chunk of the day with my grandson, so this is as relaxed as I'll get.
Okay, very good. Well, we're happy to help in that case. Is it kind of a staycation, Chris? Those are fun too.
Yeah. We had stuff we had to get done.
Okay.
So, yeah, We've done a lot of traveling, so this is a year to stay home.
That's the way to do it. All right, very good. Do you have our question of the night, Chris, is what is a movie or TV set where you would feel most at home or you'd want to exist in that world? Do you have one?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, when I was growing up, I was convinced my parents were Rob and Laura Petrie, so I would think the Petrie's household might be one. Although people who know me in more recent years would probably think of me living in the swamp on MASH. That's more likely.
Oh, you don't want to live there. That's terrible. Although you get one of those Hawkeye martinis, which are supposed to be pretty good.
I got a Hawkeye martini set with a cowboy hat and red robe for my college graduation.
Oh, that's fun. And if you lived on the set of the Dick Van Dyke Show, you have to live in black and white. So it's
well, You know, it's like Wizard of Oz that people complain about the first half being in black and white, but the truth is Kansas is in black and white. So
very well.
maybe my life is in black. It's hard to say.
It'll be easier probably on some level. Let's jump in and talk some movies here, Chris. You said you're behind, but you've certainly seen a ton of stuff. What did you think of Superman?
I liked that. I thought it was really interesting. If you watch superhero movies, and especially the Marvel ones, every single movie, they're saving the planet, the galaxy,
right,
everything. Superman saves a squirrel in one scene.
And right.
I mean, he's doing big stuff, but it was almost intentionally dialed back in that sense. And I thought that was okay.
Yeah.
I'm a big Rachel Brosnahan fan. We love to claim that she's from Milwaukee. I think she moved to Chicago when she was like four, but we all eat the paper. That counts. If you drove through, that counts.
Yeah. And her parents took her. She would have stayed, but you know, she wasn't really calling the shots at four. So we can forgive her. Right. But it
was solid. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's setting up something, setting up a franchise or something. So it's always kind of annoying. I was thrilled we didn't see the origin story because I don't want to see those anymore.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's funny. A lot of people have said that, and I didn't even realize it while I was, I mean, I guess I noticed it at some point. I was like, oh, there's no real backstory here, and I'm fine with that. They got right into it. And would you agree, Chris, that like, I'm not a technical expert at all, but the CGI in Superman and in Jurassic Park, it has just, I think it's there. It just looks great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things I always talk about with James Cameron movies is that, in Titanic, you spend about 3 seconds saying, wow, look at that boat, how impressive that looks. And after, you get past that, you think, why are they saying such dumb lines? But because the technology is so, he does it so well, you don't notice it as technology. You don't see the string showing. I think, I think all of these movies now, if you watch them on TV, sometimes it looks different, but in a theater, if you think about, like something like the Avengers Endgame movie where there's millions of creatures battling all the time and you're not questioning any of it, that's
right.
That's the goal, right? I mean, the goal is you're not asking what's going on. So.
And I totally agree with you. I mean, I want story above and beyond anything else. I don't even care if the picture looks great, if I'm invested in the characters of the world, but I do like that, in the past, it seems like sometimes the CGI would almost take you out of it. But when Superman was flying, it's like, whoa.
Right. And what I always say is I don't want to see the string show. And I mean, I don't want to think about the fact that it's a movie. I don't care. I do want a plot. I do love dialogue. I'm a word person.
Yeah.
But if the world they're creating is consistent and it doesn't make any sense, that's fine by me too. I think of a movie like Shaun of the Dead, for example. Edgar Wright is very good at this, where he creates these worlds where everything makes sense in its own world, you know? And
right.
It's obviously very hard to do because not everybody does it. So
nicely put. What about Fantastic Four? I still haven't seen it. I'm not a superhero guy to begin with, but I know Conrad saw Fantastic Four. What did you think about it again, Con?
I really liked it.
Okay. I heard somebody else that really liked it too and said it was the best Fantastic Four movie they had seen. What are your thoughts?
Which is not, for most people, is not a super high bar. The first one that nobody saw was one I think that like Roger Corman made or something. It's not supposed to be very good. And then the one after that is pretty good. The trick is making those characters connect. And I think they do a lot of that well in this movie. But it was also, again, it was a setup movie. And again, they didn't show the origin, really, just more in flashback, which was nice. I mean, it's such a good cast. I mean, this is sort of like, I think every third movie this summer had either Pedro Pascal or Vanessa Kirby or both, yes. You know, and I think they're all really solid. And I was hoping, because there's in the movie Thunderbolts that came out earlier this year, there's a post-credit scene where we see the Fantastic Four ship coming in, which was, oh, great. They're going to figure out a way to connect them to the present time. And that they didn't really bring that up in this movie. This movie's set in the 60s. It's some kind of like a Jetsons version of the 60s. And
he's taking time off this week to be with us here for a few minutes on Nightlight Tonight. Mr. Chris Foran, we are coming right back after the news with more movie and TV talk with our pal Chris Foran. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Another great show tomorrow night, folks. Jane Matinera from Matinera on Air will be here to make the popcorn pick at 6:35, where we give you a movie suggestion every week and on the first segment on Thursday. And then, Conrad, tell us about Horace Green. Great band.
Yeah, they're a band that was just at Mile of Music. And I recently found them because I was doing the Kristen Lyerly show. And she all the music for her intro. Oh, and it was fantastic, phenomenal. So I had to reach out.
They're great. I'm excited to have them here. They will be in studio tomorrow night as well. And another cool thing, David Zucker will be here Monday night, folks, at 6:35. The creator of Airplane and Top Secret and Naked Gun. He will join us at 6:35 on Monday. Very much looking forward to that. Right now, we've got one of our favorites on the line. He covers entertainment for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he drops by here often to talk movies and TV, our pal Chris Foran. Chris, let's start with the heady stuff in this segment. Okay. Happy Gilmore 2. What are your thoughts?
Well, the caveat here is I'm not an enormous Adam Sandler. I'm not a hater at all.
Same.
You know, like it is interesting to me. I have the same, he's in the same boat for me as Will Ferrell is. It makes me feel prudish because like the safer, the more PG-13 it is, the more I seem to like it.
Huh.
A lot of Adam Sandler's movies, he tends to surround himself with people who tell it, don't tell him, you know, cut. And Happy Gilmore is fine. It's very sweet. It's very much like The Wedding Singer and, you know, it has a few scenes that go on too long, but most of his movies have scenes that go on forever.
Yeah,
I this felt like more like the latter to me. I mean, he's got a long contract with Netflix. I'm sure it was something that would fill the contractual obligation. It was. If you love Happy Gilmore, you might like some of it. I didn't hate it, but it was time I won't be getting back. So.
What about Ed Gein, the Netflix monster series? You wrote about this recently in the Journal Sentinel. Such an odd figure, but a great cast. They showed Charles, I never know how to say his last name, Hunnam, I think, or Hunnam.
Hunnam, I think it's Hunnam, yeah.
Hunnam, and he looks really good. And I love Laurie Metcalf. Great cast.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And she's going to be the mother.
Yeah.
Supposed to be this repressive religious zealot who he becomes simultaneously freaked out by and obsessed by. And you can see her as Norman Bates's mother easily.
Right. Okay. And then I have to ask you, we also had, one of our, I think it might've been Jimmy Cuska, K-pop Demon Hunters, one of the most streamed movies. I'm very aware of it. I haven't seen it. Who is it for? And what did you think of it, Chris?
Well, it's an animated movie about a girl group, a K-pop girl group who also happen to be demon hunters. And one of them has a secret, and there's all sorts of, you know, in between these wacky pop songs are these wacky battles with demons. And it isn't much of anything, but it's hugely popular. Not just in, I mean, it's in English, you know, and it's on Netflix, so everything's in English on the phone.
Right.
And it's fine. The soundtrack is like a number one seller worldwide. It's huge.
It's crazy. I know.
And I mean, it's big enough that they're bringing it back. They're bringing it to theater. Netflix never shows things in theaters except for the two that they own. And they won one in Los Angeles and one in New York. They do that so they can qualify for award stuff.
Right.
But they always, whenever they say it's going to be in theaters, it's never going to be in theaters really here, but they're bringing it to theaters in like a sing-along version next weekend. The 23rd and 24th, I think, which should tell you, you know, there's obviously, they feel like there's money to grab on this. It is, if you have kids, I think kids would love it if they like pop music. It's fine. It's pleasant. You know, it's a phenomenon though. I mean, and there's some of that, there's a lot of that this summer also coming. I think it's next weekend is another animated movie from Asia. This one's from China called Neja 2. It's a sequel. It's a, you know, like a boy who's a superhero character. They're bringing it back to theaters. This time it's dubbed in English. It is the number one, it is the top grossing movie of all time worldwide.
Whoa, really?
And it came out this year. And it just blew the lid off everything, everywhere. Huge in China, but it did very well here as well.
Hmm.
Now, obviously, there's an audience for this stuff. And if you look at the box office stuff, I know our buddy Matt Miller talks about this stuff a lot too. Kids' movies do very well these days. So that's part of the drive. But I don't know that anybody thought it would be a phenomenon that it is. So it's for cultural reasons, it's on Netflix. It's worth checking out for sure.
You did, in our email exchange earlier, Chris, you said you saw Opus, which you said you thought I saw and didn't like. I did not see that. So I don't think that was me you were thinking of. But what is that? I'm not even familiar with that.
It's a really odd movie that came out in theaters earlier this year. It's on it's now streaming on HBO Max about this reclusive rock legend played by John Malkovich, who after years of not being heard from, invites a bunch of rock journalists to his big retreat camp compound to hear his new album. And what he's really doing is he's going to torture them all. And except for a young journalist who is earning, he knows that she'll tell his story, which will help him recruit more people to this cult that he's forming. And it's just odd, but it was an interesting movie. I for some reason I thought you had seen it. It was one of those movies that no one knew how to market it, so no one went to see it. And it is not for everyone because it's pretty dark. But there's a lot of that kind of stuff this year. August is usually the time when the studios dump movies they didn't know what to do with, and there's a ton of stuff this month that is looking potentially be really good, also very dark. You mentioned you saw Weapons. Did you like Weapons?
You know, I didn't dislike it, Chris. I think my take on it was kind of like it was almost a great movie. Like it was just something that didn't click. I really liked Barbarian. I thought it was a lot cleaner. Weapons are
directly.
There's just questions that I was kind of like it's creepy. I liked it, but I didn't love it, I guess.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's going to be the number one movie at the box office again this week, probably.
Really? And, okay.
But it's up, but every week for the rest of August, this Friday is Nobody 2. I don't know if you saw Nobody. I thought Nobody was terrific.
I liked it a lot. I loved it. I'm excited to see the Denzel Washington Spike Lee film too.
If you see it playing in a theater near you, go see it because it ain't going to be there long. It's by Apple. It's an Apple TV movie. So they'll bury it out there on their streaming service soon enough. It looks great, though. It's based on highest to lowest is based on a Kira Kurosawa crime movie called, not samurai stuff, but a crime movie called High and Low that is just unbelievably great. In Milwaukee, the Oriental Theater is showing Highest to Lowest, and they're showing High and Low, which is kind of
nice. Yeah, I've heard that's an amazing film.
It's one of my favorite of Kurosawa's, certainly. It's in maybe of all time period. It's just a really solid movie about in Kurosawa's version, it's about an industrialist who's a target of a kidnapping plot, but the kidnappers take his chauffeur's son by mistake.
Okay. Wow.
And so they got to figure out what they're going to do. And Denzel Washington in this one plays a music mogul, similar stuff going on, but I think the stuff involved in it is different.
Let me guess, he's a music mogul, but he can also kick ass, and he used to be special ops or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, I to be honest, I think he plays his age in this a little bit, but I mean, he's still a tough guy. He stands out Washington, so and Spike Lee does a good job with this kind of material, obviously.
Yeah.
So. But then next week it's there's a movie called Honey Don't coming out, directed by Ethan Coen.
Oh yeah.
With Margaret Qualley. It's kind of a 70s style noir thriller where she's a small town private eye who's trying to solve a murder and uncovers this charismatic preacher running some kind of a scam. The preacher's played by Chris Evans, you know, so that could be interesting. And the week after that, Darren Aronofsky, who either makes really traditional Hollywood movies or crazy stuff like Requiem for a Dream, has a movie called Caught Stealing with Austin Butler about a guy who does a favor for a friend and ends up being on the run, but from not one, but three different crime gangs. And
I'm excited to see that one. I was reading about that one. Chris Warren is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Check out his work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He writes about entertainment. We got a text from Monica Hale who says, I love superhero movies, but I thought Fantastic Four was slow and boring. It's like all the actors were on mild sedatives. Chris, let's talk about, we had our political editor here at Civic Media was on the show last night, big time Wire fan, Dan Shaver, as am I. I love The Wire. Where do you stand on the TV show The Wire?
I stand in a very sad place. I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have HBO when it came out.
Okay.
And so when I got HBO Max, the first thing I put in my stuff folder was The Wire. I still haven't. It's also like 70 seasons, so I haven't braced myself to block the time out for that yet. But it is high on my list. I don't know anybody who doesn't think it's the best show that's ever on television, with the exception of a couple of people who are still Sopranos diehards. It's the writing is great. The context is great. What I've seen of it, I've seen portions of it. It looks really great. It'll have to go a long way to be one of my favorite shows is Justified. It would have to go a long way.
I love Justified. I love Justified. And I was just thinking recently about giving that a rewatch because it's been several years. Yeah. It's interesting. Like The Sopranos, I liked the show a lot. I gave it a rewatch about a year ago and I liked it less. Whereas The Wire, I've watched it two times through. I'm actually really excited for you because you have five seasons and that's an exciting thing. The last thing I want to talk about, or I have other stuff too, but if we have time, but is Carrie Coon. How great is she? She's
pretty great.
An Emmy again. I loved her in Fargo, loved her in White Lotus 3. And they're predicting she's going to win. She has a 65% chance of winning. This is her third time she's been nominated. Don't know how they calculate that, but I would love to see her win.
And I'm surprised that she'd be the favorite because there's three people from that show, maybe four, nominated in that category.
I think you're right. Yeah.
That you would think that. I mean, it isn't that typical, consistent or not splitting the votes or anything. Yeah, she's great in pretty much everything. She's one of the bad guys in Avengers: Infinity War Endgame. I mean, she's and people forget about that she was in The Leftovers and all these other great things. And as we like to bring up every single time we mention her, that she went to UW-Madison, studied theater. She was at American Players. She was in a really great. I thought went under the radar mostly because it was a Netflix movie, and if they're not promoting it for an Oscar, it doesn't get any attention. She was in this movie. I want to say was it His Three Daughters? I think.
Okay.
About these three sisters who come together to take care of their father who's dying. And it's Elizabeth Olsen, Natasha Lyonne, and Carrie Coon. And she is just...
Oh, wow.
I mean, no surprise. She's great. She's great in everything.
She's fantastic. The next time you're here, Chris, we'll have to talk to, I know you said you've been watching Poker Face. I haven't gotten to season two yet, but let's discuss that next time. In the meantime, I cannot thank you enough. I know you're on vacation, well-earned, and thanks so much for jumping on with us, as always.
Thanks for having me on, as always, Pete.
You got it. All right, that's Chris Foran. Check out his work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You will never be bored, folks. He's a great writer and always fun to talk to. And the other thing I wanted to talk to him about, Con, that we didn't get to was The Onion put a headline out that said the Fonz statue was taken down in Milwaukee.
Really?
No, it wasn't Onion headline. I did the same thing when I read it, but it was an Onion headline. It said they wanted to get rid of their greaser past.
Okay.
Milwaukee, well. So that was fantastic. All right, when we come back, folks, I got a lot of text to get through. You guys are great tonight on the text line. We'll cover those next. Before we get out of here, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. In the sky, among the clouds in the heaven calls. Let this room, light up the fuse, it's all right. All right, all right. Let this groove.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. All right, on this day, back in, what is it, 1997, I believe it was, South Park, the movie, was released. I've talked about it before on the show. I went and saw it with my buddy Mike Siegel in Westwood, California, right by UCLA. They showed a 10 o'clock in the morning screening. I really miss going to movies first thing in the morning, but I cannot believe how hard I laughed. I should have put some clips together of the film, but it's such a great movie. Have you seen the movie?
I really don't, or haven't watched South Park.
I highly recommend it. It's just stupid, silly fun. Those guys are brilliant, and it's great. So don't leave. We have a special surprise in honor of South Park coming up. We got some texts we got to get through here first, though, before we get out of here. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, I would just like to be in Twin Peaks. Love the background music, cherry pie, and a great cup of coffee. David Lynch land, I'm a fan. Yeah, you could do a lot worse than a David Lynch movie, Tyler. Well done. And these are in response to our question of the night, which was, what TV or movie set would you feel most at home on? That's what you suggested, right? I got it. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conrad said, How I Met Your Mother. I said Seinfeld and Cheers. He also said The Suite Life of Zach and Cody.
Oh, yeah.
So that's Tyler. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I always wanted to live in Mary Tyler Moore's apartment and have Rhonda as a neighbor. Anna, that's a great text. And you just reminded me, I have another one, Bob Newhart. I wanted to live in Bob Newhart's apartment. He had that high rise on Lake Michigan. So great. Thank you for the text. Paul from Bayview says, happy days. Being able to live in the Fonz's second floor garage apartment. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, Paul. That would be fun. Barb from Waukesha says, Willy Wonka, who wouldn't want to dive in that chocolate river?
Well, the kid that gets stuck and, you know.
Does he die?
I don't think he dies, but I don't think he would like to do that.
They're not going to kill off a kid in a kid's movie like that. What am I talking about? I like John's, too. He said George and Wheezy's Pad and Sanford and Son. And I added Good Times to mine as well. John also says, you know, it would be super interesting, Peter, waking up to George Jetson's conveyor belt preparation for the day, not to mention the flying car that folds neatly into his briefcase upon arrival at work. It all sounds pretty cozy. Maybe. I've had a boss or two, like Mr. Spacely, leaving that guy out of this fantasy. Well done, John, as you should have. Steady Eddie says, Pete, this text is submitted for your approval. I used to live in the house next to Ward, June, Wally, and Theodore Cleaver in the mythical town of Mayfield. In 2025, more and more, I feel like I'm living next to Rod Sterling in the black and white dystopian world, sometimes known as the Twilight Zone. I know what you mean, Steady Eddie. Although tonight, did you notice he's Steadfast Edward? He's a little more, more sophisticated tonight. John from Madison in the 608 also says, Jack and Coke, make it a double, tall, goes well with anything viewable. Only need two for a movie. Oh, that's good. John's nursing it. Just two for a two-hour movie? That's impressive. Never had to run to hit the head. Won't make you pee four times like the eight beers you may drink in some time frame. It's my jam. Well done, John. Well done, everybody. When it comes to texting tonight, always appreciate it. Oh, John always says goes better with popcorn than most adult beverages too. Jack and Coke was like, I never got into Jack and Coke. Like I've had it, but it's a very popular bar drink.
It is. One of my friends exclusively drinks that, which means he's spending way more money than me at the bar. Right. And he also likes Jack and lemonade.
Jack and lemonade?
That sounds disgusting to me. I've never tried it, but he says it's dynamite.
I bet it's okay.
I don't know. That lemonade that you get at the bar is super, super, super sweet.
Yeah, that's true. But don't you think like the Jack would offset it a little bit?
I don't know. I don't want to try it.
I don't either. I think a hint of lemon in Jack Daniels might be good, but yeah, maybe not the lemonade. Oh, Steady Eddie also had a PS. He says, a good cup of coffee is a happy respite in this crazy mixed up world. Totally agree with you, Steady Eddie. Thank you for all your texts and calls, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow. Maybe a coffee related question tomorrow night.
You know, I'm going to have a cold brew tomorrow morning. I'm going to be excited. I'm excited for it right now.
I'm probably not going to sleep, but I'll be back here this all over again. Jane Matner will join me, and Horace Green will be playing in studio tomorrow night, folks. Thank you to Lindsay and Tara from Big B Coffee, and thank you to our pal Chris Foran at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In honor of South Park, we leave you with this amazing tune. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwamba saying good night, Wisconsin.
I told you my mom wouldn't listen. Well, then we're just going to have to save Terrence and Phillip ourselves.
What?
Think about it, you guys. What would Brian Boitano do? He'd figure out a way to rescue Terrence and Phillip before they're executed.
We can't do anything. Our mom's organization is too strong.
Well, then we'll round up all the grounded kids in town and start our own organization. An organization to help save Terrence and Phillip.
Hey, yeah, our own secret club.
I guess that could work.
We have to try. What would Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do.
When Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold, he did 2 sow cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold.
When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maidens there. So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
This B-trip out of me, it has stunted my vocabulary, and I just want my mom to stop fighting everyone.
For Wendy, I'll be an activist too, cause that's what Brian Boitano do. And what would Brian Boitano do? He call the kids in town and tell them to unite for truth. That's what Brian Boitano do.
Someone say my name.
Who are you?
I'm Brian Dennehy.
What? No, not Brian Dennehy. Get out of here.
Oh, bye.
When Brian Boitano traveled through time to the year 3010, he fought the evil robot king and saved the human race again. And when Brian Boitano built the pyramids, he beat up Kublai Khan. Cause Brian Boitano doesn't have from anybody. So let's go together and unite to stop our moms. And we'll save Terrence and Phillip too, cause that's what Brian Boitano do.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.